full-blown sermon tonight, On the Field. On the Field, I'm entitling this. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, 3 through 6, the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles comes right after 1 Chronicles, right? Some scholars believe it may have been the, actually many scholars believe it may be the last book written in the Old Testament, even though it is not the last one in order. Chronicles, you probably heard of Chronicles before, not from the Bible, but Chronicles are usually the name of newspapers, the Daily Chronicle. This was the news going on in Israel. Six hundred years before Christ. 2 Chronicles 15, 3 through 6. For a long time, Israel was out the true God. Israel was without the true God, without a priest to teach, and without the law. They were without a lot. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, and he was found by them. In those days, in that long time that is, in those days it was not safe to travel about, for all the inhabitants of the lands were in great turmoil. One nation was being crushed by another, and one city by another. Sounds kind of like the world today, doesn't it? Because the devil was troubling them. No, it doesn't say that. It says, because God was troubling them with every kind of distress. Heavenly Father, help us to see you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Number one, three teams on the field. Three teams on the field. Anybody watch the football games this weekend, this Sunday? I see that hand. Aaron Rodgers make that pass. You saw that. Whenever there is a professional football game, there are three teams that take the field. You say three teams. Ooh, I thought it was two teams. Well, you do have the home team. And you have the visiting team. And those two teams, for 3 hours, will be in non-negotiable conflict. Those teams will be at odds with each other. Why? Because they're heading in two different directions. There's a goal line here and a goal line there. And the teams, those two teams' jobs for 3 hours or 4 hours or sometimes 5 hours, is to interfere with the progress of the other team. Now, there's nothing you can do to stop this conflict because it's the nature of the field that they have stepped on. But inserted on this field is a third team, the officials, the referees. Now, there are seven officials in a professional football game, and it's their job to be on the field, but not of the field. It's their job to be on the field, but not of the field. Their role is to be in the middle of the conflict that's going on for those 3 hours without becoming part of the conflict. Now, these officials, these refs, have been deputized by a higher power from 345 Park Avenue in New York, the NFL headquarters. They are representing the kingdom of Roger Goodell. They have been given power from him up there in New York to confine the chaos, the conflict, by being down on the field. They've been deputized to be on the field. Now, these seven refs will not stop the conflict, but they will make it manageable just by their presence. Now, each of these officials has been given a book. They've been given a book by the offices in New York. And this book is the governing guidelines for which all decisions are to be made on the field. And each official understands that their personal opinion must be adjusted to the book, that they can't just come up with their own rules. They also understand this is not a popularity contest. Sometimes those officials will be booed and cursed when they go against the opposing home team. Other times they will be cheered when they make the call the home team likes. But they know they are not there for the applause. What are they there for? They're there to bring order to the chaos. They're there to bring order to the chaos from the book they have been given from the kingdom that they serve. They are there to bring order to the chaos from the book, from the kingdom that they serve. Number two. In the world, but not of the world. In the world, but not of the world. You've heard that axiom, I assume. The officials, the referees, are distinguishable. You never have to guess who is the referee in the stadium, on the field. You never have to guess. Why? Because they have their own jerseys. They have a black and white jersey. They could work at Foot Locker if they wanted to. And I heard this week. But they wear their black and white jersey. Now, what they do not wear is a uniform of the opposing teams. They do not pick their favorite teams and say, I think I will wear a Green Bay Packers jersey this week. Why? Because they are not a member of the Green Bay Packers. Or they are not a member of the Atlanta Falcons. They do not belong to those teams. Now these officials, they are grossly outnumbered. There are 53 players on each team. And each team has a coaching staff. And there are thousands of people in the stands, and there are just seven of these officials in their black and white jerseys. The players are younger, stronger, and faster. And the officials are older, fatter, and slower. But they can still run just as fast as the players backwards down the field. No. The players have the power, but they do not have the authority. The officials have the authority. They have this thing called a yellow flag and a whistle. See, the players can knock you down, but the refs can take you out. You're out of here. They have kingdom authority from on high, from Park Avenue. I'm going somewhere. Hang with me. Hang with me. Number three. Christ followers are God's officiating crew, if you will, in a world of conflict. Christ followers are God's officiating crew, if you will, if you'll follow me, you know, with this metaphor, in a world of conflict. And we live in a world of conflict. I don't know if you know that or not, but we do. There is social conflict. There is racial conflict. There is police-citizen conflict. There is Democrat-Republican conflict. There is economic conflict. And the clashes just keep on coming. This is the world that God has placed His followers in. And He has given us a book. And He expects each of us to conduct ourselves according to the book. Wisely understood, that is. You remember a few years ago, the NFL officials went on strike and those replacement officials came in. Do you remember what happened those few weeks? There was chaos on the field. Why? Because those replacement refs didn't know the book. A lot of the rules they were making up on the spot. They were talking them over as they went. They were coming up with their own opinions instead of ruling with the authority from above. I believe we Christians may matter now more than ever before, because we understand what is really causing the conflict. And we understand the conflict that is going on in this world, on the field, if you will. Now that sounds prideful, and I'm saying it tonight, I know, to believers. I'm preaching to the choir. I would not wisely say that to the world that way. But I do say to us tonight, we know the great trust we have been given, and we understand the conflict. So what is the conflict? Let's go back to the scripture we read. Number 4. God troubling the world with distress. God troubling the world with distress. Verse 6. God was troubling them with every kind of distress. God punished them, some versions say, with every type of distress. Conflict, chaos, urban conflict, God was troubling them with. Political conflict, God was troubling them with. International conflict, God was troubling them with. Economic conflict, God was troubling them with. Relationship conflict, God was troubling them with. You say, oh, I don't know about that. Well, let me read one more time. Verse 6, God was troubling them with every kind of distress. Why? Verse 3 we read, for a long time Israel was without the true God. God was troubling them with every kind of distress. Why? Because for a long time Israel was without the true God. The cause of the conflict was not the devil made me do it. The cause of the conflict was God was troubling them with every type of distress. Why? Because for a long time, Israel was without the true God. If God is your problem, only God is your solution. What we are seeing in the news every day is a world that loves conflict and loves being without God, and has a real problem with God. It's like Paul said in Romans chapter 1, 26 through 28, these people were sinning in this way and that way or another. Did not want God. For a long time they were without God. And Paul says, God, turn them over, turn them over, turn them over, 3 times he said, to doing things the way they wanted to do without God. And the result of not having God was conflict, distress, and chaos. God abandoned them because they did not want God, so God abandoned them so the people, so Israel, could see what it was like to live without God. And what was it like to live without God? It was conflict, and it was chaos. That's what we're seeing today. What it is like when people have put God on the shelf. God has turned them over and said, okay, we'll do it your way and see how that works out. You may have heard that phrase. You either say, thy will be done, or God will say, thy will be done. And when God says, thy will be done, that's just an axiom, and don't go too theologically deep on that axiom there. But we get caught up in the chaos. The chaos is what it's like when our will is done, or when we desire for our will to be done, I guess I should say it that way. People do not want the God of the Scriptures. They want the God that they can control. Another word for that is idolatry. During those days, there was no true God. During those days, there was no true God. That doesn't mean God was taking a nap, or God went on vacation, or God just couldn't be found. It means that they did not want God. It means they weren't calling out to God for a long time. They may have still been religious. They may have still been spiritual. They may still try to follow their traditions and their legalisms, but they did not want God. Number 5. There were no teaching priests and no law. There were no teaching priests and no law. Without a priest to teach and without the law. The pulpits may have had preachers, but they were not saying too much. They didn't have too much to say. I read this week, a mist in the pulpit is a fog in the pew. Lord, help us. The priests were on the field, but they weren't calling things right. They didn't know the book. They didn't know the law. They may even switch jerseys, and you couldn't tell who they were. The reason the culture is such a disarray is because the officials can't get together and make a wise, true, good, beautiful, holy, sacred call. And there was an absence of the law. Absence of the law. What does that mean? People were making up their own rules. Nothing is absolute in this world anymore, you hear. Nothing is absolute, but the things that we say are absolute. Is that absolute? Maybe not. Nothing is absolute, but the things we say that are absolute. But that can't be absolute. We must believe there are two voices, God's and everybody else's. We must say God's voice is right. We must know His law that He's written on our hearts. Number six, make sure you're wearing God's jersey. Make sure you keep wearing God's jersey. Maybe I'm taking the metaphor a little bit too far. I apologize. But I believe it was Paul said to, what did he say, be clothed in Christ? So maybe we can say that. Keep wearing God's jersey. Be clothed in the righteousness of God. We must not be weak now. For our children, our grandchildren, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, the lost, the interested, the strangers, and the hurting. Why? Because the teams are at war and they are not stopping the fight. They keep battling on. The question is, are we going to be on the field? We must not take off our kingdom jersey and put on one of the team's jerseys. That's what I see that happen a lot. We get down on the field and we say, well, I'm tired of being wearing this kingdom jersey. I'm teaming up with the Packers this week. Or I'm teaming up with the Falcons this week. If we take off our kingdom jersey and put on one of the opposing team's jerseys, you know what happens? We lose our authority. We're no longer employed by the kingdom. And the crowd's going to start chanting, you're a bunch of cheaters. You're cheaters, cheaters. And pretty soon, we're going to get a call from headquarters. We've been fired. Sodom and Gomorrah, you've heard those stories. They would still be on the map if God could have found 10 righteous. You remember that, Abraham said, you won't destroy the cities if you can find but 10 righteous people. He didn't say, you won't destroy the city if all those people stop sinning, will you? No, that's not what he said. You won't destroy the city if you can just find 10 righteous. So they were wiped out. Sodom and Gomorrah were wiped out, not only because the sinners would not stop sinning, but because the righteous could not be found. The ones with the right jerseys on, the kingdom jerseys, could not be found. They had someone in town that should have been righteous, that should have had on a kingdom jersey. His name was Lot. But he took off the jersey and he joined the field. He joined one of the opposing teams. When it was time to leave the town, when the angels basically drug Lot out of the town, his sons-in-laws did not believe him and they were nowhere to be found. His wife, when she got halfway out of town, she started missing Park Avenue and looked back. It turned into a pillar of salt, the story goes. His two daughters did leave, but they had an incestuous, drunken affair with their father. So they took off their kingdom jersey. If he'd only won his family, if Lot had just won his family, that would have been six people. his wife, his two daughters, and his son-in-laws. If they each had a one person, that would have been 12 people. If you can only find 10, the city would have been saved. What does Grand Rapids need? What does Caledonia, Wyoming, Living Hope Assembly of God need? The righteous to be righteous. Number 7. In their distress, they called on him. In their distress, they called on him. Now it says God caused their distress. Now he caused it. And in their distress, the thing that he caused, they called on him. And it says they found him. God let himself be found. They were without God. He wasn't hiding. They did not want him. But as soon as they called on him, it's like a game of hide and seek with your 2-year-old. The dad wants to be found. The dad's making noises over here. I'm over here. Found your daddy. Found your daddy. Well, how did you do that? God wanted to be found. He put them in the position that only he could fix. He wanted to be found. God is not going to skip his house before he fixes the White House. God didn't skip over Israel before he started worrying about everybody else. He had to get his people right. God wants to fix the church before he fixes the principalities and the powers. And us refs, us officials, we can't be overly interested in popularity and power and getting paid and neglect God's principles. And he's not interested in undercover Christians. The ones who've taken off the God jersey, the kingdom jersey. Everybody's coming out of the closet. We might as well too. Everybody puts on their cars bumper stickers that says who they voted for. They put on their lawns, the lawn signs, who they voted for, what team they're on. They wear the hats and the buttons. I'm on this person's team. This is who I voted for. And when they do that, they're willing to risk scorn from the opposing team, the person who did not vote for them. But they are so willing to do this, they are so committed to the one they believe in, they're willing to risk scorn. Well, we are committed to the King of Kings. We believe that he has authority. Not just in the sweet by and by, although that is true, but we believe he has authority on the field, in the chaos, right now. We believe that he has the legitimate right to rule right now. So no matter if we're getting booed off the field, or no matter if we're getting cheered, we come at the chaos with kingdom authority. We're going to be outnumbered. Overpowered. But we do not come with suggestions. We have a definite word from the King. And we do not keep that word to ourselves. We influence the outcome on the field. We influence the environment in which we live, just like Daniel influenced the field that he lived in, Babylon. They hated him for it, and they booed him, and they wanted to kill the umpire, kill the ref, and they tried to. But he influenced Babylon by keeping on the kingdom jersey. Esther, she influenced the environment, the field that she lived in. Her Persian husband, by keeping on the kingdom jersey, they shaped the atmosphere, and we're called to shape the atmosphere individually, yes, but collectively as the church. And number 8, Jesus has given us the keys to the kingdom. We are the church. The Greek word, is it ekklesia? Is that right? I think it is. Ekklesia means called out ones. The church means called out ones. We are called out. Called out from what? Called out for what? Called out to what? Well, we're called out from the general population to execute legal instructions for the general community's good and God's glory. Jesus said, I will build my church. I will build my ecclesia. I will build my called out ones. And for our metaphor tonight, my refs, my officials. We are an embassy that reflects the values of the kingdom. And he has given us, and only to us, the keys to the kingdom. Man was at his outside of his hotel room door at the Marriott, and he had his plastic key, you know, square rectangle key. He was trying to get into his room, and he slid it into the slot, and it came up red, and he dee-dee-dee, oh, come on, turn it upside down, man. It's Marriott. It's the last time I'm staying here. Couldn't get in. Goes down to the front desk. It's just mad. It's just key doesn't work. Guy looks at the key, said, sir, you're staying in a Holiday Inn, and that's a Marriott key. He traveled a lot. He hadn't gotten rid of that key. We have brought the world's keys into the church, and we're trying to open things with the wrong key. Come on, open. Come on. And we stop preaching Jesus, and we start preaching other things. And we're trying to open, and we're trying to bind things. I bind this. And we're trying to loose things, whatsoever things are bound on earth. Whatsoever things are loosed on earth. But we can't do that. We have to keep on the kingdom jersey. Otherwise, it is not endorsed by Jesus. Man and wife were in a car accident on a country road. The man awakened. His wife was unconscious and she was bleeding. He pulled out his cell phone, tried to call for help, but there was no cell phone signal. He got out of the car, and as fortune would have it, he saw a mailbox. And there was a sign on that mailbox. It says, Dr. Bill Jones, M.D. How fortunate to have this accident right outside of a doctor's home. So the man carries his bride to the porch of the home, begins to bang on the door, crying out for help. Dr. Bill Jones comes to the door, and the man is crying, save her, help her, save her. And Dr. Jones says, I'm sorry, sir. I stopped practicing years ago. The husband looks at him and says, you have two options. Either save her or take down your sign. We can't give the impression that if people show up here, show up in our lives, that things will be different when we've stopped practicing the kingdom on the field. We have to keep on the kingdom's jersey. We have two choices. Either unapologetically represent the king or take down the sign. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, teach us to be in the world. We don't want to leave this world. We believe you created the world good, so you put us in this world. But not of the world, the broken world system, where the prince of the air accuses and seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. We're not of that. You said my kingdom is not of this world. So Lord, we represent you on high in the daily, weekly, monthly conflicts that we see. Help us to represent you so we don't have to take down the sign. Give us strength to do so. Empower us by your Holy Spirit. Cover us by your blood. We do this as the body of Christ together. And we thank you for it. And now I ask that you would just bless your people, that you would just make your face shine upon them, that you would be gracious to every person here, and that you would give every person here peace. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.